Hey guys, thanks for stopping in Tasting Tequila with Brad. I'm your host, Brad Nickum. And today I've got a pretty cool treat. Just think if you were already successful, you've already made it in real estate, you've got multiple liquor stores, you've got tons of gas stations, and you've really started to really dive into some philanthropy and really start to help people. And then you decide, hey, I think I want to start a tequila brand. So what happens? You meet a guy named Samuel who's running a distillery in a small town in Mexico and has a couple tequila brands. One of them was a brand that came out and the people just truly got taken advantage of by other people. So you restore that brand and you bring it out with Samuel as your master distiller, making this fantastic additive-free tequila. Correte de Oro. Today, you're going to meet Ranak Patel, the owner and founder, and Samuel, the master distiller, who's making a fantastic, really great priced additive-free tequila. So I hope you enjoy this interview. Hey guys, welcome to Tasting Tequila with Brad. I'm really excited about having you on. Go ahead and tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Ranak Patel. I would say I'm a serial entrepreneur. And so I'm in gas stations. We do liquor stores. I have insurance businesses, real estate. So I'm a real estate mogul as well. And then I had the opportunity to become an importer. And it has been the most amazing journey.
So my name is Kunal Patel. I'm into the same thing, the gas station business. And like I said, the same thing, opportunity to do a importing in the South Carolina side.
Awesome.
Hello, and I am Samuel de la Cerda. I'm the director to the distillery Cuanacatlan company, and I'm the owner to the company. Thanks.
Well, welcome, guys. And we're here to talk about Correte de Oro. Did I say it right?
Correte de Oro.
I worked so hard on getting all of these names down, and there's a guy named Shane Norton who watches a lot of my videos, and he always teases me about my Midwestern accent and how I mispronounce things, so I work on it every day. So I've had this tequila for a little while. You sent me an amazing gift pack, and I want to say thanks for that, and I want to open all three of these up to get them in a glass so they can kind of rest, and I can try these, and while I'm doing that, why don't you tell me a little bit about your journey into tequila and agave spirits?
I tell you, the journey in getting into this business, when I started into the convenience store, I think the biggest part of the aspect of how I got to this point, to like this exact point of us having even this conversation, is helping people. I had one gas station in 2006, and I was content. You know, everybody wants to make a successful lifestyle. Everybody wants to be a millionaire. And in the Indian culture, the oldest male always takes care of his parents. So I wanted to make sure that I kept that honor in that system. And it's just been amazing because moved them down here. And I don't know if y'all felt like this before, but when I turned 30, I felt like I was going through a midlife crisis. I was like, what is the purpose in my life? You know, we're always looking for that. It's like everything's going so good. And you got great kids, great wife, great family. Business is amazing, but you're looking for that purpose. And you know what? Where I found my purpose is I had a lot of Hispanics working for me. I was 5 years old when I came to this country, so I learned English. Did not want to learn any languages. Took Spanish because everybody said it was easy in high school. And I never wanted to take any other languages. I didn't even know, Brad, what a Hispanic looked like. I swear to God, I'm from Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I don't know how many people are out there that probably thought like I did. And then recently, I would look at just pull people's names up of famous actors and actresses. And I'm like, she's Hispanic? He's Hispanic? Yeah. I'm like, what? I didn't know that, you know? So it was amazing, though. So like I said, 30, I went through a midlife crisis. And I didn't have anybody help me get to the level I'm at. And I just wanted to see somebody. I wanted to see somebody else become successful. And I wanted to be a part of that journey with them. So my nephew came in and my nephew taught him everything and on my wife's side and taught him everything and bought a gas station for him. And Brad, he backed out. And I've never ran a business remotely. So my store manager's like, don't worry. I'll work 7 days a week. We'll do this, you know. I'll staff it. We got this, you know. So we created an amazing business plan, ran our first business. And after that, Brad, liquor stores and pharmacy. I opened a pharmacy and I bought shopping centers and warehouses. I mean, there was no stop to it. And then I had the opportunity when COVID hit. I was always looking for my employees. I had to open a charity called Patel Foundation in Lowcountry that focuses on education and feed the hungry here in the Lowcountry. And I had the opportunity to help Ruben that runs my liquor store. He runs marathons. So he ran the Boston Marathon and he was number one for Mexico and 153rd out of 30,000 runners for the Boston Marathon. And
wow, I thought that's amazing.
Right. I mean, he is so proud of himself. I mean, he's still running now. And he's trying to teach, his goal is to try to get into the Olympics. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I can't wait till he finishes his dreams. Well, in the midst of it, I was always looking for sponsors for him. I sponsored his races and everything. And there was a soccer tournament here in Hardeeville. And a couple of ex-P for referees came. And one of the most famous ex-P for referee was Gilberto Alcalá Pineda. He was a world famous P for referee. So many, everybody knows him in Mexico. And well, we met him and I told Ruben, go over there, talk to him, see what he says. And Alberto called me and Alberto was like, their plane got canceled. So where we're at my river house right now, I told him, hey, Ruben stayed here before. And I told the FIFA referee, stay here, ask him any questions of how sponsorships work. I don't know how it works. And so Alberto was like, no, let's just take him out for a drink. And went to Agave Sidebar. But we were just having conversations. Alberto's like, this is the guy. He delivers liquor to all the bars and restaurants. And I was like, I do. And so in that journey, the Gilberto Alcalá Pineda, which I didn't know how famous he was like, I need you to sell my mezcal. And I was like, okay. I mean, I'm looking at, there's so much product out there in the market. And I'm not a big drinker. You know, I drank Johnny Walker Black and Blue and a lot of the Ghost and Rares. So I was like, you know what? If I can help this guy out, like I helped a lot of other people out, why not? And it's up to the bars and restaurants to make the decision how the product is. So I started the journey in that. Same thing with the tequila. Went after a couple of restaurants in Bluffton, South Carolina. And I was trying to find out who's the owner so I can deliver to him. Well, the guy who delivers Mexican grocery to my gas station, he gave me the contact, went to Charleston, talked to Antonio and Yesenia. And they told me, they were like, hey, we can meet this day. So I went over there in the morning, had a conversation with them. I developed my own app for people to order that no one has in South Carolina. So it's completely different. I like to tweak things to how can you make it better and how can you make it cost effective, but not ruining quality. So quality is always number one in my books, no matter what we do. Well, went over there, had a conversation with them. I was inviting them to Mexico City to check out the new mezcal that I'm building. So here's some of the mezcal bottles that I was creating.
Very nice.
So let me show y'all real quick. So this is what we started with. And I've got a bunch of brands coming out. And so that's the mezcal bottles. Let me see if I can bring them in close and in. There we go. Okay, so started the journey in that. And he was like, I want to make my own tequila. And I was like, okay. And I've never been to a distillery in my life. So they invited me to this distillery in Tanteo. I mean, in Huanacatlan, that Tanteo was being produced out of. So actively, the only tequila that was being produced out of Huanacatlan, non 1551, was Tanteo at that time and Espero. They did have that brand for a long time, which is the Careta, but we'll explain about that in detail as time progresses in this meeting. But let me put these back real quick. Well, I went to the distillery. I invited my partner for the mezcal. So this is a project I was working on. And I started working on it. I was like, I'm 40 years old, 10 more years. This is my last hoorah, you know? It's like everything's going really well in all my other businesses. But Brad, I love strategy. I mean, We played Red Alert back in the days. We played Civilization. We played Warcraft and Starcraft and Stratego, Monopoly. I mean, it's just something about strategy you just love about chess. And so I was like, you know what? This is my last hurrah. Did phenomenal in all my other businesses. I'm excited to do this. Never had an import license. Never talked to distributors. I didn't even know how the percentages work. Nothing, nothing. Went to the distillery. The Tanteo rep didn't even show up. They're like, well, we don't have anything scheduled for y'all. So me and my partner from the Mezcal, I got Antonio and Yesenia from the La Hacienda from Charleston. And I looked at Pablo and I was like, Pablo, I don't know what's going on. So me and Pablo sweet talk Josefina, and she showed us the entire distillery in Spanish and just had a blast. Good people. When we first met them, we this is the bottles that they had of Careta de Oro. This is Careta de Oro, how the partners designed it, you know? We got that teardrop bottle. Yeah. So this is how I found them. I tried the liquid. It was amazing. I fell in love with the Añejo because I'm a Scotch whiskey guy. So I fell in love with the Añejo. And we'll go in detail once we show the other bottles. But we found them like this and started the journey. Talked to Samuel. Samuel gave us the opportunity. But, you know, a lot of these, you know, one thing, I don't know if anybody ever discloses this information, Brad. And I do want, I hope a lot of people listen to this and they do view this podcast, because no one actually talks about this, but a lot of these distilleries that are out there, and people want to make their own tequila, but Brad, there's so many bad people out there. There's so many bad people in the aspect of, like, they want to create product, but you got these hardworking people at the distillery, and half the time they don't get paid for the containers. They want everything on credit. Am I right or wrong, someone? You know, and I've talked to, and then I've had conversations even in America, a lot of these distilleries. So I had a chance to meet a lot of local distilleries. Like I told you, the, what is it? The Fort Whiskey, Old Hammer.
That's Westport. Westport.
Westport. Same thing happened to them. You know, so there's so many people that are willing. I mean, they want to grow their business. They're trying to find great, honest people to work with. But half these people always get screwed, Brad. And it's the same thing happens in Mexico. So many of these guys want to do business to grow their distillery, to create amazing product, and they try to trust them, but they always do them wrong. So I had to share that. But so I went to this distillery. We had a conversation. Pina came up to me, and Pina's like, Ronak, why don't you do this? Why don't you help us sell this product? And well, I started on the Mezcal journey. I don't have my import license. I don't even have a distributor. Don't have a marketing person. And I was like, you know what? I'll figure it out. I own a liquor store, and I'll talk to suppliers, and we'll figure out what's going on. So I didn't have my import license. I didn't have any of this stuff. You know, all I knew is I had the relationship that I had from the distributors, like Southern Glazers, Breakthrough, RNDC, Advantage, Winebow. We did amazing volume, amazing business, did business with the bars and restaurants. So imagine, I know one forefront, and Indians are always in the liquor store industry. So we learn, you know, what's going on, what's the best tactics. You know, people use different tactics in every single state. Well, once I signed contracts with all these guys and we started working, I'm glad that Samuel trusted me. You know, there was a lot going on their side. Pablo, you know, I never had a partner in any of my businesses. So this is the first business that I'm actually having partnership, and you're working with people and trusting them. And the one thing I like to tell people is I'm not going to let you down, because the one thing you'll never gain back in people is the trust. So why break the trust? You know, it's always good to build trust. And I hope people notice that and never do people wrong, because it's really bad when you see hardworking people get screwed at the same time. So I always tell them, what if someone did that to you, you know?
That's a philosophy to live by.
It is. It's so sad when you hear these stories. And the more people I talk to, more distilleries, whether it's whiskey, vodka, gin, whatever they create, whatever these distilleries are, America, other countries, all they're doing is they're honest, hardworking people trying to grow. That's it. So I hope people realize that just don't screw them. I mean, they're working hard, and it sets them back. So that's what happened to this distillery back in 2011. Before I tell you all the rest of the story, back in 2011, they shipped out two containers in California with the old bottles that I showed y'all, and they didn't pay them. It set them back completely. They had to reformat everything. They were shipping other bottles in other countries, but I mean, it just never took off. And Samuel had the opportunity to find Tanteo, huh, someone? Remember when you found Tanteo, what was it, 2015?
2016.
2016.
Since 2016, Tanteo is our customer.
But 2016, someone had the opportunity and someone presented Tanteo to come see him. And that's when the journey of Samuel started. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot of unscrupulous people, but you know, one thing I've found in the tequila community is there's a lot of great people. I've been really impressive of how so many brands like lift up the other brands. Mm-hmm. And I really find that, you know, I'm in the mortgage business, right? And mortgage people aren't nice to other mortgage people. So when you see like companies that are, you know, really supporting and lifting up other brands and, you know, really talking about how, oh, that's a great brand too. I love what they do. It's really awesome. And the tradition and the families that are affected by manufacturing tequila is what I just love it. I love to see how the impact, the good impacts that there are on a lot of the communities. It's really impressive to me.
Yeah. No, 100%.
So let's talk about this juice a little bit. So we're making this with, I think it said like Midland agaves, right? Not highlands and not lowlands, but kind of in the middle.
That's correct. Midland agaves, right, someone, if you want to tell them?
Yeah. All the agaves in Midland.
You guys are grouped as owners that are also agave farmers, correct?
Yeah. When we begin the company, we begin with, because we have problems in the past with the agave, and 40 farmers in Juanacatlán put the company since 20 years ago only for resolve a problem to the agave. And this is the reason to born Carreta de Oro since 2008. But Ronak said we have a problem with sell tequila, and we make other brands for many years.
Gotcha.
For 15 years, we made more than 40 brands, different brands, but not brands to the company.
So no house brand, just making other people's
no
tequila.
House brands. And when I take the company in 2020, mm-hmm. I want to change the philosophy because you need to know, is now my principal office, because in the past I worked with automotive companies, but I'm owner to the company. And I work for a different company for some years. I have some experience directly in other types of company. And the farmers and owners say, why not you take the company and make changes to can too big the brand and the company? Mm-hmm. And this is the reason to I'm in this moment is 100% in Destiladora Juanacatlán. I stopped to work for other companies and only in the role to the tequila, because Ronak is a good person. I know him since 3 years ago. I talked with them with what is the mission in my position in the town. You know, I live in this moment in Guadalajara, but I'm born in Juanacatlán, and I think why not make some difference in the town, because it's the only one distillery in Juanacatlán, no more.
Oh, no kidding.
We have all the opportunity in this region because in the past it's only a farm.
So you have control over the agaves since you guys are the farmers. So they're your agaves, right? And you don't have to source any.
Farmers. We are around to 17 farmers. 70 farmers.
70 farmers. That's
moment,
awesome.
In the company are 75 owners, but in the past we are more than 90. And
right.
It's
okay. Awesome.
It's a difference. It's a distillery difference in all the other distilleries, because in the other distilleries it's only one owner, sometimes three, no more four.
Right.
And we are 75 in this moment.
So that's pretty awesome that you've got a group there. There's a lot of people that can be impacted with that.
Yeah. It's
so,
a company to the town, to that region.
So for the cooking method, you're using like an older stone or brick oven. Is that right?
It's brick oven, only brick ovens.
Okay. And then roller mill for extraction?
Yeah, roller mill.
Okay. And then tell me about your fermentation process.
The fermentation is open. It's open.
Okay.
And we use levadura para fermentar.
Levadura. Casi yo no sé qué es levadura, hermano.
Okay. Organic product in the juice, in the agave juice for the fermentation.
Okay.
Okay? It's special for us.
So you have your own proprietary yeast that you're using?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And then are you distilling in copper or stainless steel?
Yeah, it's in copper and stainless steel. It's a combination, but it's alambique, okay?
Yep.
Only
okay,
alambique.
Perfect. Awesome. And then for the Blanco, are you going straight to bottling or do you rest that Blanco? Do you oxygenate it?
Or
are you just going straight to bottle?
Straight to bottle.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I poured some. Anybody else pour any? Because I hate to drink alone.
Oh, no, no. We're drinking with you, Samuel. Tiene su vaso. Hey, so remember I told you I didn't want to speak another language? You almost español muy bien. So what I'm going to do is, since we're sipping on the agave, I'll tell you, we've been working with this for about a year now. And let me know what you get out of it. Now I'll tell you what some of the people gets out of it. And what we heard of all over Georgia and South Carolina.
On the nose, I get a great cooked agave. And I get a little bit of that pedrichor, a little bit of that wet concrete smell.
Yes.
I love that. It's so minerally.
Yes.
Like a bell pepper. It's got a real nice, I get some vegetable smell.
Very herbal. So. Very herbal, citrusy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a deep well water. We're the only distillery in the Midlands. They're not giving out any more well permits. Hmm. So there's not going to be any more Midland distilleries. We're going to be the only one. And it's almost like we have that area on a limestone with that deep well water. So you got all this clean water, and that's what makes the big difference. And that's where you get that minerality out of.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, cheers.
Salud.
Salud.
All those minerals come through in the taste too. That's so good, but still the agave's there. That I'm such a fan of that cooked agave taste. And I try to explain that to my friends until they stand at the edge of a stone oven and smell it and then taste it right out of the oven. It's hard to explain, you know, that somebody hasn't tasted that, but a nice kind of sweet potato cooked agave, great minerals. And then I get a lot of spice at the end, a little bit of cinnamon.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of baking spice. It kind of it's good for Christmas time, right? Some of that baking spice cinnamon flavor. And a nice long finish too. That's a very good tequila.
The finish is amazing. So what we do a lot of tastings, Brad, when we do a lot of tastings, there's people out there. Let me tell you something. This is crazy. There's people out there. I do not do tequila. No, I don't want tequila. When they try this, they're like, I do not do tequila, but this is good. Then you have people who drink vodka. The vodka ones that don't do tequila, they like this.
Yep.
Wine drinkers that don't do tequila, they like ours. It's crazy. It's crazy. Like, you're not only are we opening market shares for tequila lovers, but we're opening market shares, new market shares for people who drink wine, the vodkas. I mean, we make mojitos out of this, pina coladas. You can mix it with sweet tea. We call it sweet tequila.
I had a tequila Negroni today, right, with a good repo. So I agree with you. I bring my bourbon people in with an añejo, and then 3 months later, they're drinking a repo. And when they're here the next year, they're sipping on a Blanco, and then they get totally drawn in, you know. And there's still some bourbon up there that just hasn't gone away because no one drinks it when they come over anymore. Now it's all tequila.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's, I'm glad I let that rest a little bit because it's still opening up. It probably changes every time I'm going to go taste this. It's that's very good Blanco. Very good.
I greatly appreciate it. Good job, Samuel.
Very good job. So when we move to the repo, is the same tequila that your Blanco, is that going right into your repo?
That's correct. Okay. Go ahead, Samuel. And
so what kind of barrels are we using?
Only put in the barrels and wait some months. This is a little difference for other reposados. Mm-hmm. We put the tequila for 6 months in the barrel.
Okay. And are you aging to time or are you aging to taste? Like sometimes you taste it and go, okay, this one's ready and you go ahead and pull it, or this one's not ready, we'll leave it sit a little longer.
Okay, the roll is no is more than 6 months.
Right.
Sometimes we need 7-8 months, but the standard is minimum 6 months in the barrel.
Okay, and are these used American white oak barrels?
Yeah, American.
Were they whiskey or bourbon before?
Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels whiskey. All right. And then are you guys leaving the char the same or are you scraping the barrels? What are, is there any prepping to the barrels to change them?
Los barriles no cambia nada, ¿no, Samuel? La barriles solo meta la líquido nada más, ¿no?
Solamente metemos el líquido, no ponemos nada más. Es el sabor natural del barril.
Ah, yeah. So they don't change anything. They don't scrape it, nothing. As soon as the barrels come in, they dump the liquid in it, and this is what we get out of it. And you got to
fantastic.
We only make a maintenance in the barrel because we need to burn. Necesitamos mm-hmm. quemar.
Mm-hmm.
Burn the bar in.
Yep.
Yep.
I think we officially lost somebody. That's never happened before. He'll probably come back in a minute.
We're trying to find that good signal, you know. But like
great,
I said,
great nose on the Blanco or on the repo. I get a lot of the same things out of the Blanco with just a little bit of a vanilla note or caramel note. This sounds weird to say, but it smells like it's thicker. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's not, but it has this smell that is like, hey, I'm a little thicker. Let's go ahead. Ready? Cheers.
Salud.
Mm. Great mouthfeel. A nice, that brings out a little buttery, kind of a butterscotch. And a nice, not a lot of barrel, like just enough for me. That's it. You get a little bit of caramel. The cinnamon is still there in the finish. Actually, it's kind of higher, I think.
Yeah.
And you still have that same agave, the same minerals, but the barrel notes almost intense the cinnamon a little bit and give you that buttery feel. That's nice. That's very nice.
It lingers really well. So what we found out in the market in this one, and it's crazy, is people who drink bourbon or tequila lovers love this repo. Makes amazing Negronis, old fashions. I've even had, what's crazy, Brad, is, you know, a lot of people stick to these big names. And I've had people like, oh, my God, this is better than Don Julio 1942. Or this is better than Glass Azul Repo. Or I've got people putting back a Don Julio Repo and getting this instead of that. You know, so imagine
we should be.
They should be, yes. Well, and because it's added it free. We don't have any chemicals. Right.
Well, and if you look at the ones you've mentioned, you know, a lot of those are utilizing a diffuser and 2 to 3 year old agaves and then adding additives back to get the flavors. And, you know, we take Don Julio, for instance. I'd rather have, you know, Lalo's new tequila, which is the grandson of Don Julio, that's making an authentic tequila than any of those big brands. And people are learning that. People, you know, in my sphere, a lot of my new tequila drinking friends, you know, they have no idea. and I'll do tastings. And I always tell somebody, when you come to a tasting, bring your favorite tequila. Mm-hmm. And then we'll taste good tequila. And then we'll taste the one that you brought. And I've literally had friends spit theirs back in the glass and then leave the bottle here. And I use those as examples. You know,
right.
Here's a really pretty bottle, you know, a really beautiful bottle with a bell on the top. You know, it's a $200 bottle with $20 tequila in it.
That's right.
If it's even tequila, right? So, yeah, this is, I mean, I agree with you. This is, that's a great buttery feel, a great taste. It's got a great agave. And I do like the cinnamon. I love it when I find cinnamon in a tequila. That's like one of my favorite like flavors to find. The last couple I found celery, and I kind of think that's what, remember I said there's a vegetable note that I couldn't put my finger on. It may have been like a little bit of a celery bell pepper flavor. So yeah, this is really good.
And that's the beautiful part about tequila, right? And that's why they called 1800 1800, because there's 1800 notes depending on what you eat, the palate that your body will bring out when you try these different tequilas. I mean, it's there's so much science behind it, and not everybody's going to get the same notes as other people. You know, I remember Bob Peters from North Carolina, amazing guy, love him to death, and we've been talking for a long time too. And he got coconut on all three of them, and I was like, oh, he's the only one I met. I think with a few other people that got coconut, but it just, it all depends on what you eat, what your body takes in, and then sure, that are brought out in your palates when you try this product.
There's a podcast called Whiskey Tequila Fridays.
Uh-huh.
And it's two guys. One of them is a huge whiskey fan, and the other one is a huge agave fan. So They'll have a tequila and a whiskey, and they do this thing called the quick sip. And they'll do a sip of tequila, and then before the finish is gone, they'll take a sip of the whiskey.
Ooh.
And then they switch it. Then they do a sip of the whiskey and then follow it with a sip of the tequila. And every time they do it, they talk about the different flavors they get, you know, how the tequila makes the whiskey taste different, and then how the whiskey, you know, highlights the tequila and it tastes different. And it's the same with food. Like this, that repo would go great with any kind of fish meal that you're going to have, any kind of citrus, like that just, that's, and I like pineapple with my whiskey or with my tequila. In fact, what you don't see behind the scenes there is a can of pineapple juice. That's kind of a palate breaker for me. Sometimes it's like, okay, let's try something else and I'll throw some pineapple juice in there. It's like, sometimes I even get pineapple in a repo or an añejo, and I do get coconut every once in a while. So those are some great flavors. So let's do this añejo. We lost Sam, but you're doing 18 months. Is that what I read for the añejo?
So the añejo is 18 months.
Okay.
And so I know everybody knows what reposado means. Reposado means rested.
Yep.
And so añejo means aged. You have no idea how many tastings I do, Brad. And everybody's like, what are those flavors? What are those colors? And it's so amazing to be able to educate these guys out there. But añejo is aged, so we age it for 18 months. Imagine there's so many tequilas out there in the market. They age it for 24 months. They age it for 20. I mean, some of them age it for 36 months. I mean, that's the max you'd go. And they're trying to get as many notes out of it. And the secret behind, and I don't mind sharing the secret behind creating an amazing product, is it all comes from the primary source of how you grow it. I think when you grow an agave, think of it as a child. When's the best time for a child to be a sponge? When they're babies, when they're young, you know, before 4 or 5 years old. That's when they're absorbing everything. That's the basic fundamentals are the most important things.
sorry, but I have problems with my laptop because it's raining in this moment in Guadalajara.
You're on the añejo. Cheers and welcome back.
Yeah. So
añejo. Okay.
So the secret behind creating amazing product is the initial, the growth. You know, the plant, the actual plant. Then the rest of it follows afterwards. That will change everything else. But you know, a lot of people like to take shortcuts, but you know, people need to remember it's how you grow the nutrients that are in the soil that get absorbed in the agave. So I just want to put that out there.
Well, you know, I have a saying. I tell people that when they're tasting a tequila, that you're sipping somewhere between 6 and 8 years of sunshine.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
6 to 8 years of that plant living in that field, right? It's just living there, just waiting. It's taking up everything that's happening all over all those years. You know, wines, we grow those grapes in a year. Bourbon, we grow that corn every year.
Right.
Sugar cane grows every year. There's no other spirit out there that has the lifespan that it takes to make this spirit and the amount of people and an amount of hands that it takes to bring it to life. And you take a spirit that's then aged, right? You got a, you know, you got an añejo that's sitting there for 18 months and you got 6 to 8 years before that just to be, become what it yeah. is. So that's a great sip of sunshine. So I'm ready to give this one a hit. A little more barrel. Great agave, but I get almost what I call a burnt sugar, like a really hint taste of like creme brulee burnt sugar. I love that. That's very good.
You get a little bit, you get cinnamon in this one as well. You get that orange.
Oh, in the finish.
Yeah.
Right as you start to say that, I get like a hit of the citrus and then the cinnamon finishes out like it did in both the others. Like the cinnamon came out in the Blanco and the Repo in the finish earlier in the Blanco and then later in the Añejo, but you still get that cinnamon in the end. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of mint too.
Okay. I had a lot of people say they get mint out of two. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit of mint that I didn't get in the other two, but I get it in the Añejo.
Mm. I've had a lot of people, when we did tastings, they love these Añejos and Repos because it lingers really well. And a lot of people are so much into whiskeys and bourbons and scotches. They love this Añejo because of the lingering. And you still taste it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so sweet. So natural.
Good. And you still, you know, you have that buttery flavor and feel that you had in the Repo too. So how many times are you reusing these barrels? Are these barrels that you've used for years and they're being just reused? Or are you using them and then reconditioning them and using them again?
Someone?
When it's añejo, we use only 3 times because the barrel is no more. But the reposado, we can to use more than six to nine times, no more. Okay?
Yeah, that seems pretty common. And it, you know, there's not a lot of color, which tells me you're not putting anything in there to give it color. It's getting the color from those barrels and it has a nice color, but it's not over colored.
It's a natural color. Yeah.
Yeah. You get some of these Repos and Añejos and you pour them and you're like, that looks like it's been in a barrel for 10 years to get that dark. Right. And this is great. This is good stuff. So is there anything new coming down the pike? Do you have any other products that you're going to pop out?
I got extra añejo coming up.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome.
I didn't send you any, but
it's extra añejo.
I'm getting you some extra añejo, but we got some extra añejo coming out. We got some premium well tequila coming out. We got premium tequila.
I got to go look in that box. I didn't see any extra añejo in that box. I need to go look.
So we're working on extra añejo, and I'm going to send you some. It's going to come in bottles like this.
Beautiful.
And so we're going to create those. And we're going to create, like I said, the well tequila, the premium well that a lot of people are asking for. And then we got a premium tequila that's high proof, 52%. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
That's one of the things I was going to ask you. So when you're coming out, you know, of the still, you're probably at 50, 53, right? And then are you proofing it down with the well water? Is that what you're bringing it down to the 80?
Samuel, ¿cuánto proof sale la desaladora? ¿60 o 58?
No, puede salir hasta 64 grados de alcohol.
64. That's right, 64.
64, and then you're proofing it down with your water, no, your well water.
But the proof is 128. Improve.
Right, yeah.
Because then, it's a double, no?
Yeah, double.
Yep. So are you going into the barrel at a higher proof and then proofing it when you bring it out of the barrel, or are you proofing it and going into the barrel?
No, it's a higher proof. It's okay. a natural tequila. And We down only when it's boiling.
Okay, so you're going when, in cask strength to age and then proofing it down once you barrel. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. The añejo is opening up even more. Like there's more flavors every time I go in.
So what we found out in tastings on this one, Scotch whiskey lovers do not like tequila. Love the añejo.
Yeah, it's the añejo. I got more caramel. Like the third time in here, I'm getting a lot more caramel flavoring. You know, all of the barrel contributes, but the agave's there in front, and that's. You know, I don't like when tequilas have the barrel remove the taste of tequila and make it a whiskey. I like that agave in the front, and that's still there. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we want.
When do your other tequilas come out? Your añejo and your high proofs. When will we see those on the market?
We're working on it. I'm hoping. I know the premium well tequila should be out later on this year.
Okay.
The extra añejo is going to be a while, probably. Vamos a decir el 26, Samuel, el extra añejo.
Sí, en el 26.
Yeah, so 2026, we should have extra añejo. We're also working on the high proof. The high proof we should have hopefully later on this year as well. We'll start with the Blanco. We got the Repo coming as well. We're working on single barrel program. I have a lot of restaurants asking for single barrel. Tons. Yeah. But we're waiting to do it the right way. Me and Samuel, like I said, we work close hand in hand. Samuel told you he took over this project 2020. And me and Samuel met, what was it, Samuel, 2021? I think so, yeah, right? Yeah, 2021.
Yeah, but we came to work in 2022 together.
We worked together.
You know the company in 2021?
Yeah.
And I know you in 2022 because the first time with Pina.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so 2021 is when the journey began. So imagine the way I say it, me and Samuel are like yin yang.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's one half and me and Samuel, and I'm the other half, and we complete one another.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ronak is my brother.
There you go. One of the things I love is your bottles. I think your bottles are beautiful. And how did you come up with this idea of the colors and then fading the barrels or the bottles, the colors fading? That's really cool.
So working in the liquor. Okay. Go ahead, Samuel.
No. Come on.
So I wanted to create an eye candy, but at the same time, I know a lot of people, when they see the bottles, and I want to make sure the viewers understand this, the bottles, when they fade color, when you get to the bottom area, it's crystal clear. So whatever you see down here is the actual color of the liquid. I never want to hide the actual color of the liquid. So on the bottom, you will see the actual color of the liquid. That's correct. And so I wanted to make sure that stands out. And when we designed these bottles, if you look at it and you could see it, it looks like there's gems on the bottle of every single one. Look at that. You know, so
they're fantastic.
It's imagine, and this came out of coincidence as we were designing the gem. I was like, Samuel, it looks like we got hidden gems in here, you know?
Yeah.
So the design of the bottle just came amazing. But I was thinking more like Milagro. I was thinking more like creating an eye candy, because when I work with distributors, and we work with nationals, Ron runs national in South Carolina. I run Savannah Distributing, amazing guys. Both of the guys are amazing. Breakthrough is amazing. All these distributors are great people. But when we started working with them, it's hard because you got to earn one thing. And I want people to really, truly understand this aspect of it too. That first year, and I want to definitely say it in this first podcast I've ever done, the first year, there is no secret. I want to tell everybody out there who's wanting to learn how to launch their own brand, there is no secret. I can tell you everything to prevent any mistakes, but just get ready to lose money. You will lose tons of money because what you're going to do is you're going to throw darts at the wall and you're going to try to figure out where your tequila lands. I found out now, after going in about a year and 4 months, I could tell you everything about this tequila, and I could tell you whoever comes in, because we average anywhere between 12 to 24 bottles in the tasting, and every single tasting, same thing. Whether it's Savannah, St. Simons, Columbia, Charleston, Atlanta, everybody gives the same results. What I love about this product is the part is like vodka lovers. You know, people who don't drink tequila, drink wine, or tequila lovers love our Blanco, or bourbon lovers and tequila lovers love our Repo, and even cognac, scotch whiskey, and tequila lovers love our Añejo. So I covered so many different categories into one with this product. And that's why I tell Samuel, is like, we're going to do amazing with this brand, but I want everybody who's watching this know that the first year you're going to lose, it's a fraternity. If y'all ever been in a fraternity, it's hazing when it comes to distributors. You have to go out there and do the work yourself. Do not expect the distributor to do the work for you. You know, don't point fingers. Don't do anything. Don't think that you can throw this product at the distributor. Go home and relax. Me and Cruno, we drive literally every day. We go all over the place. We do tastings for 4 hours. Some people do 3 hours. We have instead of hiring an agency, we have an in-house where we hire tasting people and very strict. No phones. We will fire people quick if they use their phones. Because at the end of the day, we want these tasting people to build a relationship with the liquor stores or the restaurants. And but guys, please, whoever's watching it, y'all want to launch a brand. This is very important. I highly recommend. You're going to lose money, but work your butt off. Because whenever you're growing anything, the initial is what takes the majority of the brunt force. I had a meeting 2-3 days ago, and I have listened to it. Samuel listened to it. I listened to that speech over and over again. But Savannah Distributing finally said, this, what you did, Ronak, in the first year, not a lot of suppliers do that. We're going to call you in instead of doing virtual. You're going to get in front of all our sales teams in person, GSM. And this will be our core product that we're going to start moving in the state of Georgia. And you have no idea. Like, I felt like so much joy. Like, you want to have tears coming out. It's like, they're like, you want to pat yourself on the back because you made it, you know, like you made it through that fraternity, you know, you made it through the easy. Yeah. But it's amazing. It's always build good relationship. You know, relationship matters a lot.
So where can people find this? So, you know, I'm in Indiana, and honestly, we have horrible tequila distribution. You can't find anything here, except for those big, ugly brands we talked about. So if someone's in Indiana or someone's in Florida or someone's in New York, where can they find this tequila and pick it up? Is there someplace they can order it, or what states are you currently available in?
So we're in Georgia and South Carolina currently. We're about to open up 4 more states next year.
Florida. Next year's in a couple of days.
Couple of days. That's correct. So, Florida, when we start Florida, so I did. Let me step back a little bit. Back in July, they had small issues back in the day, and back in July they stole my truck. So it was over $273,000 worth of tequila. But it was more of an insider job. Yeah. So
that's the second time I've heard of that happening. You know, another big tequila company just had 2 trucks stolen.
Yeah. No, it's more. I think, you know, Brad, what I think it is more of an inside job than anything, because the company we use, American Spirits, they do phenomenal work. But I used a company in Mexico called Blexa, and they were just horrible. And then you got a trucking company called TQL, which are horrible, you know. It's amazing how many people out there. So guys, if y'all listening to this, please listen to this as well. Make sure, because we did have insurance in ours, but make sure you follow through with all of them and they have proper cargo coverage of the product. So that's this will be, Brad, I've seen a lot of yours, but I don't know if anybody ever touched on some of the things I've touched today, but make sure y'all keep up with your insurance. Make sure you keep up with the trucking, where it's going. But we had our truck finally come in with the square bottles. So we're going to launch Florida. We're going to launch California. We're going to launch New York. And we're going to launch North Carolina. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So the beautiful part about Florida, California, New York is we'll be able to get on the online website so you can order it. But we're definitely going to come to every single state. The thing is, people need to understand, you can't rush it. You can't rush the process. You know, it'd be awesome to be everywhere, but you can't rush it because you got to have a good team. It's me and Samuel, Cruno. It's like we make this product, right? We're the face of it as well. But the people we hire as suppliers, they're the face of the tequila as well. So sure. You always want to have proper people that makes that name for you, because I'm not going to see all the reps. I'm not going to see all the bars and restaurants, but the people I hire, they're the face of the brand too. So what makes this tequila? It's not me and Samuel. It's the people that we hire makes the tequila. So it's the people's brand. And that's how I see it. So it's going to take some time, but we're going to get there. We're going to be worldwide, but I'm excited, and I hope people see this. And I know a lot of people want to try it. A lot of people did try it. But what'd you think, Brad? I'd love to hear it, because I did tell you, don't try it until the show, you know?
No, I like all of them. I think they've been very good. I love the cinnamon in the back. I love the agave flavor. You've got a great barrel notes in your Repo and Añejo. Now I'm just going to wait to taste that extra Añejo. But, you know, in the heart, I'm a Blanco guy. I drink mostly Blancos. I like the taste of tequila, right? I like tequila. So all three of them are fantastic. I'm glad that I waited. And if I hadn't waited, they probably would be almost empty by now. So, because they're awesome. So yeah, you did a great job. Great brand, great bottles, great presentation, great story. You know, everything about it is fantastic. I love it. So, and I know that you have a big giving heart, and I really love people like that. My philosophy in business and life over the last few years is, if I can help other people get what they want, I'll inevitably get what I want. I'm not going to focus on me. I focus on them. And it sounds like you do the same thing. And that's just really impressive. You've done a great job here. And I hope lots of people get into this brand, and I want to see your growth happen quickly. So thanks for taking your time today. I know that, you know, we're all busy. It sounds like you have 100 different businesses. And I have to say, with the last name Patel, if you were in Indiana, not only would you have liquor stores and gas stations, but you'd also have all the hotels. Everybody with the last name Patel owns a hotel in Indianapolis. So I appreciate your work ethic. And I know that comes a lot from your background. It comes a lot from where you come from. The work ethic is always so amazing to me. So to add work ethic with caring about other people is just so impressive. And to have a guy like Sam, who is got a base in agave farming, and the way they've connected with all these farmers, and it's his hometown. It's so cool. So awesome. So what you guys are doing are great, and you have a great brand and a great tequila. I really appreciate you coming on today and doing this. This is awesome.
Yeah. Cause the sustainability, you know, one thing we didn't get a touch on, Samuel, we got a massive sustainability over there where everything's solar power. What we're doing with the leftover agave, we're making, so the next corks that are coming out, they're going to be made out of agave, along with the paper that's going to be made out of agave. So the bottle is going to be organic.
So the bagasse that you're using after the roller mill and after it dries out, then you're going to use that for the cork and for the labels.
Yeah. And the boiler. The boiler is going to be taking agave as well, the vinasa.
Yeah.
It's going to be biofuel. Right, someone?
No kidding. That's the first time I've heard that. That's awesome.
We went to have all the process, organic process, okay? Mm-hmm. No plastic, no oil, nothing. It's only with agave use to produce. Oh, okay, only need the glass because the glass is not the part to the agave. But all this, all the more, we can to use the agave.
It's paper, it's so great.
The corn.
It's so great to see companies doing that. Like I feel like as a crazy gringo drinking tequila in America, we take so much from your region, right? What is 11 liters of water to make 1 liter of tequila, right? So I know how much we take, and it's great to hear companies figuring out ways to protect that area and to give back to that area. So that is so important. It's such a great, thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. And I'll tell you some of the other things we're going to get into. Let me turn the camera this way, but we've got the Mezcal brand that's going to be coming out soon.
Okay.
And you're going to love this, Brad, because I'm going to send this to you, but I'm going to be giving people jicaras. It's a dry fruit, and it makes a huge difference when you actually drink mezcal out of that.
Right. It's what's the other little cup called? A jicara? Is that how you say it?
Jicara. Jicara. Yeah, jicara.
Okay, so
it's a plant. It's
a plant?
Yeah, it's a dry fruit.
Yeah.
Okay, because I have a friend we have a bar here in Indianapolis, and our bartender Johnny is from Arandas, and he won like a huge contest for making mixed drinks. He's a mixologist, and every time I go down there, he has a different mezcal or a different sotol, and he'll serve it in that little. You know, little cup like that. And I was like, can I get one of these? And he's like, no, it's going to go in this. And then we all sip out of that one cup. So he's been teaching me about it. What, one thing I didn't ask, what does the name mean?
Carreta de Oro, carriage of gold.
Say it again.
Carriage of gold.
Carriage of gold. And how did that name come to be? How did you guys come up with that name?
Samuel?
Okay. The name is for part or history, because we began with a problem farmers in the region with agave. And we think about carreta, because the carreta is a car. And in the past, when All time is run. And why gold? Because it's our tesoro. What is that tesoro? Tesoro is gold is a very, very special material for all.
Treasure.
And all time Treasure. running with many changes to resolve different problems.
Very cool. Very nice. I love it when there's a story to the name and a story to the bottle and then a tradition to the tequila and a great group of farmers doing the agave. So Renek, now I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
The guy sitting next to you hasn't said boo.
Oh, Cornell, it's your opportunity.
I mean, I'm kind of like said, like the same thing. Like I said, I had a great opportunity to just be part of this great tequila. And like I said, when I was in Mexico with Samuel and a great time with you guys, saw how everything, what we talked about, how it makes and everything. It is great to be part of this, being this tequila business, be imported for the South Carolina. And like you said, I learned it, like what he said, I learned everything from the beginning, from like, you know, everything new. So everything was new for me when I started it. So now, like I said, learning from Rona, learning from everybody. And our main goal is to kind of just move the product and get it everywhere. In South Carolina, so educate the people how what it come from, where it come from, you know, what's it mean, like saying every single thing about Carreta Oro, and it's great being like say great being part of the additive free tequila, because like I said, people a lot of people are changing to the additive free and with the organic, and like I said, like what he said, every time we do tasting, we get everybody who don't even drink the tequila. And they just love it. I mean, this, like I said, it surprised me. I never knew the taste was going to be like this. So, like I said, it's great to be in this part of the team. And like I said, just moving forward, selling more tequila every single year. So, yes.
Well, I knew you had to be a good guy because we're wearing the same shirt.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I got Grover. I love Grover. You know, this is funny.
I love the back.
Yeah, Grover was hilarious. So I dropped off a bunch of stuff for Grover just to hand out for people because he's still going to pull the tequila off the shelves to test them every year. Mm-hmm. And he'll give you a certification so you can show it to people. And I went to his house, Brad, and his door was wide open, wide open. And I'm like, Grover. And I'm like, Grover. And I was like, I text him too. I was like, Grover, I hope you know you left your door open.
Yeah, I'm in your foyer.
Yeah, I'm like waiting. And then I see a car come through and I'm like, okay, maybe that's him. And then I see another one come through. But the third car pulls into a driveway and Grover's like, wondering, who the hell is this guy in my driveway? But we chit-chatted, had an amazing conversation. I think their cat got out. So he just amazing guy. Like you said earlier, the community is amazing. There's so many people out there. And I think, and if there's people out there, guys, if y'all watching this video, reach out to Brad. If y'all need to reach out to me for anything, would love to give you any advice. I'm completely new at this game, but one thing I'll tell you is I've got my distributors. I've got my big distributors. I've got marketing, which I've never done in my life. If you need to learn how to get your import license, I'll teach you how to do that. I did it on my own. I didn't even hire a lawyer. So we both got our import license. Yours was in 4 days.
Less than a week, yeah.
Yeah, I got my import license in like 6 business days and yours like 4 business days. I ran into a guy at the airport and he was best friends with RNDC and sent bottles off and they loved the product. And all of a sudden I made relationships with them. He launched with National in South Carolina, Colonial through the gas stations. Matt Savannah Distributing, me and Henry, love Henry to death, are really tight. He's the owner in Georgia. And we're going to meet Wineville. I mean, there's so many people who love seeing what we're doing. So definitely go out there and grind, you know, just work. Fraternity. Remember fraternity and hazing.
Love it. Well, you know, you guys always have a place to stay if you're ever in Indianapolis. We have an extra room. So if you're ever in town, come in, let me know. You got a place to stay. We'll sit here at the bar and drink tequila together and do another episode. I appreciate all the time. I appreciate all the time. You bring that with you? Yeah. Bring some mezcal. We'll drink it up and talk about all the great tequilas and mezcals. And I just appreciate the time that you guys took away from your families. And I hope you have a fantastic holiday. And this has been a great episode. I think everybody will love it. And I think everybody will love your tequila. We just got to get it in everybody's hands. So yes, thanks for coming on today. Appreciate y'all. All right. That was Renak and Samuel from Crete de Oro. I really hope you enjoyed the video. You can find them at CreteDeOro.com. You can find them on Facebook at Drink Crete de Oro, Instagram at Crete de Oro, and TikTok at Crete de Oro. I'll put all of the information in the summary of the video. So check it out. Definitely check their tequilas out. Fantastic, great, added free tequila. Thanks for tuning in.